So last Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching at our AM service, and I opened up a chapter that I said that probably I'll preach from for about the next four, five, six sermons that I get the privilege of sharing, and that's from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, we find this point of the story where Jesus has gathered his disciples together. Up until this point, he'd been preaching some epic messages, the Sermon on the Mount. He'd been doing some incredible miracles, opening blind eyes, healing people, seeing the kingdom of God just manifest in the physical things that are in heaven happening on earth. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves at this point where Jesus gathers in his crew and says, guess what? I'm going to send you guys out. I'm going to send you guys out to do some things. And last week, I talked about how God called the disciples, how then he gave authority to the disciples, and then he sent out the disciples. And I want to encourage you this morning as well. Pastor Dave at our morning service here at our Hobart campus preached, I've been told, an incredible message about generosity and prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you get the chance during the week to listen to that podcast, or even if you don't think you have the time to or chance to, make time for it, because we're believing that God's going to move powerfully in our city. Like, that's God's heart. That is God's heart. And sometimes it's up to us to actually shift where our heart is, to bring it into alignment where God's heart is, so that when we can be actual functional and available for God to actually do what his heart is to do in our city and in our season that we've found ourselves in. So Jesus called them, Jesus gave them authority, and Jesus sent them. Let me read through this chapter, the start of chapter 10, and I'm gonna stick on one verse tonight, and we're gonna look at this for about the next 30 minutes. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: Simon, brother of Andrew, yep, that's you; James, son of Zebedee; John, Philip, Bartholomew; Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Zealot; Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or into any town of Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. So at this time, Jesus was sending the disciples just to the people of Israel. Later on, we read in Matthew 28, he's now sent the disciples into all the world. That's the commission that we now have. We're not sent to just be ministers to the people in Israel. We are part of the discipleship group that Jesus is saying, go into all the world. Go into your Jerusalem, aka Hobart, or if you're visiting from the UK, your Manchester, and go into that place and make disciples. Wherever your local Jerusalem is, that is where you're called to start making disciples, your friendship circles, your family circles, your workplace. And then it goes out from there. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. This is verse 8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. Heal the sick. Sorry, I just decided to pause for a second. It was just an interesting time to pause. But I want to focus on that verse. Heal the sick. These are going to be the points that we're going to look at tonight. So if you are a person that likes to take notes during a sermon, these are your points. It's straight out of the Word of God. I haven't prettied them up. But it's heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those that have leprosy. Leprosy is spelled L-E-P-R-O-S-Y, for those that might not be sure, because that's generally not in too many grade 5 classes, how to spell leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much that your word is living and active. And we ask right now in this space, in this place, that you would help transform us by the power of your word in us, God. That it would then help action us to acts of faith so that we can see the world around us transformed for the glory of God. We thank you that you haven't finished with us yet, because we're still here. And if that is the case, Lord, we want to go from glory to glory. We're not satisfied with where we're at. We don't want to remain stagnant or stationary, but we want to move into the fullness of what you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So point number one out of this verse, this one verse, you're called to heal the sick. You are called to heal the sick. Healing the sick should not just happen and take place on a Sunday service through the person that has the microphone at the front of stage. That is not what Jesus had said or taught his disciples to do. He was actually about to send them out and he said, hey, go heal the sick. In the same way, this is actually more like Jesus bringing the crew together before going out. And I want to encourage you, that same commission that Jesus gave his 12 disciples in this moment in history, I believe that he's giving it afresh to us here today. Do you know if this room of 50 believers decided to go out and fully live out this commission, we would turn this city upside down. Legitimately we would. If we didn't just go, oh, you know what, I believe healings happen, but they generally only happen on a Sunday service between the time slot of 5:30 and 7 when I manage to coerce one of my friends to come here, then we're actually missing out on the fullness of what God has for us individually and also the fullness of what God wants to do through us collectively. He has called us to heal the sick. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared this incredible story how, I'll share it again. So 2 weeks ago, we had a guy sitting at the back of the room here. His name was Ben. Came in with a hamstring injury. We prayed for him and he received a healing. The awesome thing is the next day, I went to the gym and I go to the same gym as this guy. That's how I got to know him. And there he is running on the treadmill. There's no injury anymore. He came in here on the Sunday night, walking a bit sheepishly, gingerly. And then he's running on a treadmill. Sees me, the first thing he does is then turn to people and say, hey, this guy, he prayed for me on Sunday night. He didn't even know this person. But it's amazing when God starts healing people, the first thing that happens is testimonies start being told. And I want to encourage you that those testimonies should not just be told here, but they need to be told out there. Because it's not necessarily the people here that need a top-up of faith, although I think we all need that at times. It's the people that actually have no faith at all that need to taste and see that our God is good. He has commissioned us to heal the sick. And I want to encourage you, next time you get the opportunity, when you come across someone that's not traveling well, why not just ask them, hey, can I pray for you? The worst thing that can happen is they say no. That happens to me regularly on things. I request someone's friendship on Facebook and they decline it. You know, it's not the end of the world. I go on and I try to add another 400,000 people. No, I don't do that. Not one of those weird people. But it's amazing the power of testimony when it comes to healing. This same person, I was in at the gym again last Monday and he was there inviting people. He's not here tonight, which is a bit of a bummer because he invited two other people at our gym to come to tonight's service. Because he was just like, oh, last time I heard Dan preach, I got healed. And he was like, you should come along. And he was just inviting people along. It's just incredible. But I want to encourage you. We need to be people that actually have the faith to believe that God wants to pour out his spirit, not just on the senior pastor or the person that has a microphone, but he wants to pour out his spirit, as the prophet Joel said, on all flesh. On all flesh, on every single one of us. That's why you're not a spectator. You're a participator in what God wants to do and what God has planned to do in this city. So number one, we are called to heal the sick. Let me encourage you this week, at the start of each day, go, God, if someone sick comes before me today, give me the courage, the boldness to pray for them. Let me encourage you, if each and every single one of us started each day with a short prayer like that, and then a heart malleable enough, flexible enough to be obedient when that moment arises, we could turn this city upside down. The second one that Jesus said to his 12 disciples before he sent them out, he said to them, raise the dead. Whoa. You know, this really this really, I battled with this one. When I read this and started reading it and reflecting on it, I was just like, I haven't had the audacity or the boldness to, like, I've had a couple of deaths in the last 12 months. My grandfather passed away, and it's like he just gave up on life. It just came to a point where he just had enough. And my Alma passed away about 12 months ago. I don't know, it's a tough one. Because part of you is like, oh, is it culturally appropriate to pray for someone and when they've just passed away, like for them to be raised to life? Or, but then it got me thinking, which culture are we choosing to conform to? Are we choosing to conform to the patterns of this world or be transformed by what the Word of God says? And I find that really hard. Because that's something that... Would anyone here feel comfortable praying for someone dead to come alive? Just saying, it's a challenging point, and it's something that I think we actually need to allow ourselves to be challenged on. Because when we choose to say, okay, I'm happy to pray for sick, but yeah, that's in the too hard basket, God, we're actually putting a ceiling on the capacity and the possibilities that God actually might want to do in our world. And I honestly believe, this is my personal conviction, I honestly believe if God has said it, we can see it. That is just my personal conviction. You can have your own personal conviction. If it's not that, then it's probably not in line with the Word of God. But you can carry that. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to judge you. But I personally want to carry a conviction that's in line with God's Word. That if He said it, then I honestly believe that I can see it. And that's why I honestly, I've just said honestly about 10 times, but my heart is, God, please shift me to a place where I can believe that and have the audacity to believe for that. Because the times that I said last week, I've been reading a book by Reinhard Bonnke. It's all about his bibliography. It's called A Life of Fire. And I've been doing a bit of background reading on him. And there's been a couple of times, actually more than a couple of times, but I've read a couple of them, where people that have been literally dead at his crusades have come to life. And then all of a sudden, thousands of people that know that dead person come to faith because of the miracle that's taken place. It's mind-blowing. I was reading one just today where in Sudan, there was this guy who'd been dead for a few days that actually embalmed the organs. So they'd well and truly gone through the process. Over there in Sudan, though, it's a bit different to here because they don't have refrigeration and all that sort of stuff. So they use this chemical to help like liquefy them rather than taking them out. But they've done the liquefaction process. But then his wife went, actually, Reinhard's in town. Let's take the body to the revival event that's going on. And this guy actually got up. He was dead and then got up and he was alive. And it said that thousands of people that knew this guy, knew the family, all came to faith because of that. You know, that's probably the greatest miracle that guy will ever experience. But the ongoing impact of that is when we actually operate in not just the natural, but the supernatural, it can have supernatural moves of God happen because we're not relying on our own strength and strategy, but we're relying on the Spirit of God. You see, Jesus isn't asking us to do something that he didn't even do. You know, there's a story in Luke 7 where he raises this widow's son. I love this story because this widow and her dead son are on the way to a place called Nain. And on the journey, Jesus turns up and says in verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on. And the bearers stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praise God. great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to his people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. I tell you what, nothing spreads like a resurrection. And I want to encourage you, maybe you haven't had the faith like me to pray for someone that's dead to come to life, but it says in the Word of God that we were dead in our sins and then we came alive in Christ Jesus. So even though you might not have that audacious faith, or I'm not saying you might not, but you haven't yet prayed for something like that, know that your life, if you are in Christ, is a testimony to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So because of that, in the same way that this boy, all of a sudden the news spread throughout the community, our lives should have that same impact. Because we've come from death and we are alive. We once were dead, but now we're alive. Behold, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. We need to be living resurrection lives. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. From death to life. So one, we need to be people that heal the sick, pray for the sick. Number two, we raise the dead. And we testify of how Jesus Christ raised us from death to life. Number three, we need to be people that cleanse those that have leprosy. Now, that's probably not something we see too often here in Hobart these days. But leprosy at this time was a bigger thing than what it is now. And for those who don't know, leprosy is like a type of skin condition that can be contagious. Now, the impact and the social impact of having leprosy actually caused the Israelites, and this was something that was taught in the Levitical laws, was if someone has leprosy, you need to actually get them out of the community. You need to ostracize them. You need to isolate them. You need to get them out from everyone else, because if they remain with everyone else, there's a possibility that they may infect others. So all of a sudden, Jesus has commissioned his disciples to do something radical. To go out to the people that have been ostracized. To go out to the people that have been isolated. Not because of their own, anything they've done. It's not like any of them got up one morning and said, you know what, I want to be a leper today. If they did, they'd probably need a lot of prayer. But they found themselves in these situations. And I honestly believe in our world today, you know, even though we might not see leprosy here in Hobart, we have people that carry around social leprosy. They're going through depression or anxiety. They've done something really, 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 really dumb, and it's like a stigma just on them. Every time they walk in the room, they feel like everyone's thinking what they're thinking. I honestly believe that the good news of the gospel has the power to transform people, to bring healing to broken hearts, to bring hope into hopeless situation, to bring light into places where there's darkness, and see transformation from people being isolated and ostracized to being in their right mind. You know, one of the greatest examples of this there was a guy named Legion. You know, what a great name for a child. This is my son, Legion. Yeah, but he was in a graveyard cutting himself, running around naked, and then one encounter with Jesus. Financial system in that area got disrupted by Jesus turning up that day. 2,000 pigs get killed so one man can be made sane and right with God. It's an incredible thing. But I honestly believe that our God is commissioning us and calling us to be people that don't just look down our nose at the people that we dislike, but actually, we are moved in our heart with such compassion, with such conviction, sent from heaven to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, to allow the kingdom of heaven to move in us and through us to actually change and transform those people's lives. We're called to cleanse people with leprosy. The next one, point number four. Is this good? Point number four. This one's hectic. Drive out demons. Come on. Old school Pentecostal church. Do we have any demon-possessed people here in the house? I want you to come up to the front of the altar. No, I'm just stirring with you. This is a pretty incredible thing. But we do have to remind ourselves that in one of the epistles in the book of Ephesians, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Seriously. We battle against powers and principalities in the unseen realms. And like I said, I honestly believe in my heart God's word over just what I feel and what I think. And just because the social norm in our society at the moment is, oh, let's just label everything and call it a disorder. I'm not saying that disorders aren't real. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But sometimes we can be so conformed to the world way of thinking of going, oh, let's just label this, label that, label this, label that, that we actually miss the point that there is actually powers and principalities that are at work wanting to steal, kill, and destroy the minds, the destiny, the hearts, the hope, and the future that God has for young people. And that's why, honestly, we need to actually take spiritual authority and pray with spiritual authority, declaring the name of Jesus, the name that we declared, we sang it about, I don't know how many times, 100 times here tonight, but actually speak it over the darkness in people's lives. You know, you might be thinking to yourself, wow, this is a pretty full-on type of church. They believe in demons, powers, and principalities. I've never seen a power or principality. What was it, about 4 or 5 years ago? About 4 years ago. I was driving home after youth group on a Friday night. And it was the middle of winter. It was about -1 outside. At this time, I was living up at New Norfolk. And on the side of the road, I saw someone standing there hitchhiking on the highway. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to pick up this person. Because when I was in New Zealand, when I was 18 years old, I hitchhiked a fair bit. So I'm like, the scripture here, and this is the next point we're going to get to, it says, you know, if you've received, then freely give. I'm like, well, I've received blessing, and if I was on the side of the road at 11 o'clock at night, I'd probably hope someone would stop and pick me up. I'm not saying this is for everyone, this is just my, where I'm at. If you're a single mum and you've got kids in the car, put the foot down and keep driving. But for me, I was like, you know what, I'm going to stop and pick up this person. I thought it was a guy, but then all of a sudden she pulled off the hood and it was a girl. I was like, oh, okay, sweet, cool. Hey, how are you going? Where do you need to go to? And she's like, I need to go to Glenorchy. And I'm like, I'm on the side of the road heading towards New Norfolk and near Granton. I thought to myself, you're going to Glenorchy? You're on the wrong side of the road, woman. And I didn't say woman. That's what I was thinking. And I was just like, oh, it's... But I thought in my heart, and I felt like, I think it was the Holy Spirit. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. Because I was like, Dan, just turn around to the roundabout. Go back. Drop her off. And I was like, ah, okay. So reluctant obedience. Has anyone ever been in that place with the Lord? It's like, okay, God. Right, yeah. So I do a U-E. Not a U-E. Go around the roundabout and start going up the other way. And driving for a bit, and I was like, fuck, man, you must be cold. Let me turn the heater up a little bit. And just started chatting for a bit. And you can just tell she was bit on edge, just something was going on in her heart and in her head. And then all of a sudden she just looked up and saw that I think her ears tweaked to the fact that I had like worship music slowly on in the background. And then she saw the cross that I had hanging from my mirror. And all of a sudden she was like, we've got to stop. I was like, what? She was like, we've got to stop. We really have to stop. I'm going to be sick. I'm like, well, rightio. So I just like, going from 110, slow right down to 0, pull up on the side of the road. And she just turns at me and just goes, just hisses and snarls and starts going, and just screaming at me. I'm just like, whoa, whoa. And she opens the door and runs out the door into the darkness. Tell me that demons are not real or spiritual powers and principalities aren't real. I've experienced it firsthand. I tell you what, that was the most messed up hitchhike. And that's why, single mums, if you've got kids in the car and there's a hitchhiker at that time of night, just keep driving. But I say all this to say this. I then drove from where I was all the way home for about another 25 minutes, called up a friend of mine and said, I have no idea what's just happened, but can you just pray in the spirit with me for the next 25 minutes? I think I just encountered like a demon or a spirit. I have no idea what's going on. Prayed in the spirit for about 25, 30 minutes. And by the time I actually got from where we were to where I got to, all of a sudden the atmosphere that had turned into this creepy, crazy, scary atmosphere, there was just an incredible peace in the car. Now that's a testimony in itself. But then years later, one of the young people from our youth group in the Derwent Valley, a young guy named Tyler, said that his neighbour two doors down had actually been picked up by a Christian person from the Derwent Valley, and she had radically turned to Christ. Not on that night, but about 6 months later. And I'm just like, how does that even happen? But that's because we took spiritual authority in the moment, and when we were driving, we were declaring, Lord, heal this person, save this person, deliver this person. And I honestly believe that no word returns void. So even though the delivery and the time of arrival might have not been in that moment where I was seeing her face to face, it did happen because God's heart is for the lost. It's for the broken. It's for those that have demons within them. Yeah, and there's another time recently up at the Derwent Valley service where it was Jemima Priest was leading worship. Remember that service? And we just had someone to start manifesting on the front row. Jemima doing what she's doing, singing these beautiful worship songs, and then just screaming at the top of their lungs. And I think you guys would remember. That was an interesting service. But the incredible thing is, God was at work in that lady's life, bringing her, delivering her from these strongholds, from these powers, from these principalities that had been strangling her faith and holding her in a place where she couldn't move into what God had for her. We're called to be people that drive out demons. And number five, I'm going to invite the band to come back up. We need to freely receive and freely give. Freely receive and freely give. Has anyone ever been to a party that's invite only? Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. They're cool. Got nothing against parties that are invite only. But the thing is, God's kingdom isn't invite only. But sometimes we can adopt a mentality where it's like, oh, I'll just invite or I'll just believe for people that are in the kingdom. It's not invite only. What we've received, and if you have received the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you've received that good news and decided in your heart and confessed with your mouth to believe that He is Lord, that He is the Savior of your soul, and that without Him we can actually bear no fruit, but with Him we can do incredible and glorious things for the glory of God. If you've received that freely, then I want to encourage you, we need to give that freely. And giving that freely doesn't just mean that occasionally you mention that you're a Christian to people. It actually means testifying, like Ben was doing at the Aquatic Center. It means sharing what God has done in your life and through your life. It means giving other people the opportunity to experience the same miracle of salvation that you've received, or to believe for healing if you've received a healing, or believe for deliverance if you've received deliverance, or to help support someone that's felt like a social outcast come to a place where I honestly hope and believe that every time you come here you feel like you belong, because you do belong here. We're family here at Energizer. We want to do life together, not just do services together, but help people, make them belong. We need to give freely what we've received. Tonight, just in that moment, and just on that, I just want to invite everyone just to close their eyes and bow their heads for a moment. Because I don't know where you are at with God. I say this often, but I believe this, that I could think to myself, you must be okay with God because you're here at a church service at 6:45. But that's just me looking at the outward appearance. God looks at your heart and you know your own heart. And the Bible is so clear that anyone who believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we acknowledge him before man, he will acknowledge us before the Father in heaven. And that's why every single week we give people the opportunity to get right with God, because I don't know where you're at with God. But what I do know is receiving that gift was the best choice I ever made, and I would love to extend that same invitation to other people. And if you need to do that here today, I'd love you to have the boldness just to lift up your hand. With everyone else has their eyes closed, their heads bowed. But just in this moment of reflection, if you know in your heart, you know about God, but you don't know God, I would love to lead you in a prayer to get right with God so that you may know him. Does anyone need to do that here today? Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Give space for it every single week. Cool. Hey, that's good. I'm hoping that everyone's all good with God. And if you know in your heart you don't know God, please come chat to me or chat to someone else on the front row after and say, hey, this is where I'm at on the journey. I'd love to just talk and pray about it. Just in closing, Jemima, can you sing, there's a song that you had on the run sheet called Yes and Amen. And we're gonna sing this song. And at the end of the song, I just want to open up a bit of space just to pray for people. And if you honestly feel like some of the things that we talked about here tonight are actually things that you might have in your own life, I said something that can seem a bit spooky, but like if you feel like there's something like this heaviness that is continuing to hold you down and not allowing you to live in the fullness of the joy that Christ has for you, I would love to pray and grab a hold of that spiritual principality in the name of Jesus and see freedom from that, to drive out demons, powers, principalities. If you're carrying sickness in your body, I said it was only 2 weeks ago we saw some guy with a hamstring injury get healed. If you're carrying sickness in your body, let's have the boldness and the courage to step out off the back of this song. And we'll just pray into this stuff and believe that if God said it, then we can see it. Using the name of Jesus, having the audacity to believe that the miracles that we read in the Bible are not just great bedtime stories, but faith, fuel for our faith to actually be activated upon. So let's jump to our feet. Jemima's going to lead us in this song, and then we're going to pray for some people.
promises. All your promises are yes and amen.
Hey, thanks, Dan. Great word. Dan's been sort of really challenging us to make our faith more audacious. To not say it's just something that we know about. It's not something that, even that we have a, you know, we even have a theological understanding about, or an intellectual understanding about. It's actually something that, you know, we are being so radically impacted that some of these things he's talking about can't help but flow out of us. So, if you're stuck right now, if your journey just does not feel radical or audacious enough, why don't you just come out here and we're going to pray for people. Just walk out here right now, and we want you to step in to a more radical, audacious faith. You know, maybe you need healing. Maybe you want to pray for healing for people. Maybe you want this week to be different to last week. Maybe you want to feel like you're actually going to step out and you're going to pray for healing for somebody. Maybe you're going to step out and you're going to share your faith. Maybe you're actually going to move beyond where you've been this week. We're going to pray for breakthrough. Lord, we pray right now for Alex. I thank you that you have gifted him, that you're going to free him, that he's going to be able to open his mouth in a new way. He's going to be able to speak truth like he's never spoken it before. Lord, I pray that the faith that he carries won't be something that is stale or stagnant, but it is something that will be audacious, that will catch on to other people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fill him right now with your spirit. Fill him right now with your spirit. Oh, Lord, we pray for Katie right now. We just pray for a confidence that she has in you, that you would start to move her life in a powerful, powerful way. Lord, we pray that things that she is feeling right now, heaviness would come off her, that she would find herself more and more speaking life into the lives of other people. In Jesus' name, that she would walk and she would live lightly in the calling that you have on her. In Jesus' name, amen. Charmaine, right now, that you'd feel her afresh right now, that she would feel your presence, that she would know that you go with her. Right now, I just pray that you would stir the fire that is within her, that you would stir her up inside. I pray that it will be catchy, that she won't just live a boring life. You know, Charmaine, you're not called to live boring. You are not called to live boring. That you are called to live an infectious, radical life. The faith that you carry is actually going to impact other people. You're going to find yourself speaking with a passion about what has gone on in you, and people are not going to be able to help but listen. So, Lord, we just pray for her right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for Pete. I thank you for the faith that he carries, and I thank you for the season that you're bringing him into. Lord, I pray that there would be a sense of your, just the audacity that he has to step out. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't finished with him, that he's not parked, but he is going right now into a new season, that there are new things opening up for him in the name of Jesus, and it will require faith. Fill him right now. Feel him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray for Dad right now. I pray for the things that he carries in his heart, the things that he's believing for. Lord, I pray right now that he would find himself in the very near future stepping into those things in a new season. Lord, I pray that he will not feel limited or restricted by anything that goes on around him or in him, but you're going to use him powerfully in a new season. Lord, that he will use him to speak truth, to be able to lift the faith of others around him, that he will pray for those to be healed, that he will call out things that are not as though they are, in the mighty name of Jesus. Fill him afresh right now. Fill him afresh right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anyone really feel like they just need people to stand with them for healing? We're going to close the service in just a sec. But I just think there could be somebody here right now that you need that. And we want to pray into that right now. If you need that, just come forward and we'll do that.
Out our hands in faith. Like I said at the very start, we have no spectators here tonight. Let's participate in a miracle. Abby is going to receive a miracle in this place tonight. I just want to pray a commissioning over every single person. Feel free to either hold the hand of the person next to you or just stand next to someone. I said at the very start, no spectators tonight. I honestly believe that God wants to use each and every single one of us to influence our communities, this city, this state, the nations. So Lord, I just thank you so much for every single person that was gathered here tonight, that you have a plan and purpose for them, that you have prepared good works in advance for them, God. But we thank you that you don't just have these good works for us and then step back and say, yeah, do it yourself. You want to partner with us, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would infill each and every single one of us, that we would be vessels of your glory, God, and that we would allow you to flow in us and through us to people that are hurting, people that need healing, to people that are dead in their sin, to people that have oppression over the top of them, God, and that we would be people that would bring freedom, that would bring life, that would bring hope and healing in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much that you're sending us out, that you've gathered us here together, you've encouraged us, you've filled us with your power, you've filled us with your presence, God, but you're sending us out, God. So Lord, we ask that you'd go with each and every single one of us and give us the audaciousness to believe what you want to do next in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, it's been wonderful having you here tonight.